Okay, hope everybody's doing well. We're going to try to catch up. I know we fell a little behind Rav Shem Yom Kippur, so we're going to do Daf Mem Ches tonight, and we're going to do Daf Mem Tes, hopefully, on Thursday night after Mincha Maariv. And then the week after that, Mirtz Hashem, we will get ourselves caught up all the way. So we are on Mem Zayin Amud Beis at the Mishnah. The Mishnah says as follows, Hareini Alecha Chayrim. If a person says to somebody else, I am chayrim towards you. Chayrim always is a language, you know, used by that I'm sending something to the Beis Hamikdash. So I'm usher to you, just like things that are belong to the Beis Hamikdash are usher to you. So hamudar, usher, the person to whom this person made this neder becomes usher to get benefit from the person who said it. So harei at alai chayrim. But if someone says you are chayrim towards me, so haneid hanoder usher, the person who said it is us to get benefit from the person who said it. This person who said it can't get benefit from the person about whom he said it. Hareini alecha va'at alai. If someone says somebody else, I'm chayrim towards you and you're chayrim towards me, so shnei meser, and then both people can't get hana from each other. Fine. Okay, so now the question becomes, so then what do they do now if there's, you know, if they're somewhere in public, how do they manage property in that scenario? If I'm forbidden to you, you're forbidden to me, etc. So, shnei mutarim bedavar sha'olei bavel. And both of them are permitted to get benefit from something that was, used by the people who were the olei bavel. The Ran there on the bottom of Mem Zayin Amud Beis explains, mutarim bedavar sha'olei bavel, shehif kirim olei bavel, l'cho Yisrael. The olei bavel, the people who came from Bavel, so they, you know, made these things hefker, so anyone can use them. Even though, so if I'm Asher, you, so it doesn't matter, we can both make use of those things. Continues to the mission on Mem Chesem Aleph, Asurim B'davar Sha'o Sa'ir, but they are forbidden to use things from their own city. The Ran says there, on top of Mem Chesem Aleph, Shehem Darimba, the city in which they live, because no one else from any other city has it, Shehem Yechol Nimachran, meaning, so since it belongs to the people who live in the city, and these two people live in the city, so now it becomes again usher for them to use these public items because they're publicly owned, but they're owned by the person from whom you've made a neder, or someone made a neder on you, now to get benefit from them. Fine. So what does that mean? Something that's from the Olei Bavel. Kigon Harabayas. So the Harbayas, the Temple Mount, the courtyards around it, and a water cistern that's in the middle of the road. So the Rush explains that these were, you know, this water hole, the cistern was that they basically had a water hole on the way, on the road from Bava Tire to Israel, that was declared to belong to everybody, so that people coming to Eretz Yisrael on the Shalom Shagam would be able to make use of it. Fine. Davar shall osair, and what does it mean? Something that is from that city, belongs to that city. Kigon, harachava, v'amerachatz, ubeisa knesses. V'yatev v'asvar. So what does that mean? So it means things like the harachava is the square, the town square people lived, the merachatz, the bathhouse in the area, the shul of that place, teva and the svarim. Teva means like the aron kodesh, where they kept the Torah and the svarim. The svarim, you know, as we understand. Fine. It continues in the Mishnah about kosev chelik chelkol the nasi, and somebody says that he wants his chelik to go to the nasi. So the Ran explains what are you talking about? So Mefarshi b'Gemara, the Hachikah Amar Matakan Asan Yichtevu Chelkan LeNasi. So how can they let each other now use these things now that they've answered each other? So what can they do? They can write a letter, basically saying to the Nasi that they want to give their chelik, or the amount what they belongs to them from the public property, they can give over to the Nasi. The Bahachi Shari, because now it doesn't belong to them, and now it can belong to, you know, other people can use it. Fine. So if someone does that. So what happens? So Rabbi Huda Omer, Echa Kosev Nasi, Echa Kosev Hedyo. So Huda says, so you can, you know, lift this Isser on the other person, whether you write your, you know, chelak in the public property to the Nasi or to anybody, right? To a regular person. Because the bottom line is, it doesn't belong to you. My coast of Nasi, the coast of Hed. Yeah, who cares if I read it to the Nasi or read it to a regular person? Shall coast of the Nasi, Ein Sarchozakos. If I read it to the Nasi, he doesn't have to actually make some type of, you know, kinyan on it. The Hed Yot Sarchozakos. But if you're going to do it, you give it to the regular person. So he needs to find someone to make a kinyan on his behalf. Okay, v'chacham marim, echadze tzrichin lezakos, that everybody, whether it's a nasi, whether it's a regular person, they have to make a kinyan. Fine. And continues the mishnah, lo dibru nasi el behove. When they mention nasi, it's only because they're talking about like what was normal to do, but it's not something unique about the nasi that was what people would do. But it doesn't have to be the nasi; it could be anybody. And Rabbi Huda Omer, ein anshei Galil tzrichin lichtov. And Rabbi Huda says that the people in Galil don't have to write anything to the nasi. Why should Karakasu have a say in Aydan? Because they had already had it done for them before. Now, the Gemara is later on going to explain that they wrote their, you know, chilak already to the nasi. You know, people had done that before them, so they don't have to do it now. Okay, fine. So now let's take a look at the Gemara. The Gemara says the following. My mitzer, right? What does this mean? I mean, why would it be that by assering one person on the other, so if I asser you to use my things, so why is it asser you to use publicly owned things? So I'm Rav Sheshes, no hachikta, this is what it means. Umata kanasan, right? What is the, you know, the remedy? If you again did this, yichtivu chalkan lanasi, let them, they have to write their, you know, both of them, write their shares to the nasi. And then each one become permitted to use the public. Sorry, just to make clear what this means. The Gemara has an assumption that when it says, just the language of the Mishnah was just, and, you know, you should write to the nasi. And the implication being that someone who wrote, you know, their chelik and sent it off to, said that the nasi can have it, somehow himself becomes usher to use the public things. And that's the question. No, that's not what it means. It just means, so on my mitzvah, why would they be usher to use it? The Gemara says, no, that's not what it means. Explain the mission said, Uma takanasan, what do you do in all these scenarios where someone makes somebody forbidden to somebody else's stuff? No, this is how you do it, you write it to the nasi. Fine. Okay. So Rehuda Omer. So Rehuda says, Echa kosev nasi v'echa kosev hedyo. Be'em Uma ben kosev l'nasi l'kosev hedyo. Ha kosev nasi in tzarech l'zakos. So we mentioned this idea, this opinion of Rehuda, that the person who writes to the nasi, he doesn't have to make a kinyan. But he has to. And the chachamim said, no, either one has to make a kinyan. But they were just mentioning the nasi because they were just doing so, talking about what people usually did. But there's nothing special about the nasi. And that's just kind of like laying out now what the mission would look like now that we, you know, changed it a little bit to explain my takanasa. That's all. Okay. Fine. So it continues the Gemara as follows. So the mission before it said, Rehuda Omer, Ein Anshin Galil, Tzrichin Lezakon, Shekfa Kosvi, Avusein Ayidehem. So what does that mean? That their fathers had done it before. Tanya, Rehuda Omer, Anshin Galil, Kant Ranin Hayu. The Anshin Galil were, they were like difficult. They would fight all the time. So they would do this all the time. They would make Nidarm against each other. So Amdav was saying, because we chalkin nasi. So the people said, this is ridiculous. We're going to stop doing this, and we're just going to write off that everyone's items belong to the nasi, and that way people wouldn't, people who are so fickle and so often doing this with each other, it wouldn't be a problem. Okay. Next mission. Hamudu hana mechavero. Someone, again, someone took a neder about a person. Ve'ein lo ma yochal, and now the person has nothing to eat. Right, so the person now is usher, can't get benefit from you, but he has nothing to eat. So what do I do? So nos no la acher l'shum matan. So what can he do? So the guy can give someone else food for that person. So let's say Reuven took a neder, Shimon can't get benefit from me. Now Shimon has nothing to eat. So what else can Reuven do? Reuven gives food to Levi as a gift, and then what happens? V'hala mutabra, and now Shimon can have it because it's Levi's. Ma'aseh be'achav beis choron. There's a person in a place called Beis Choron, Shahaya Aviv Mudar Hemenu Hana, whose father was prohibited from getting benefit from an Eder. And the son was now marrying off his own son. Bram lachavero, chatzir v'suuda nusudin hinach hinan lefanecha. Kadesh yavo abba v'yochel imanu b'suuda. So he said, my chatzir and the feast and everything is going to be belongs to you, so that my father can come. So Amar, so the guy said back to him, im shalihim, harei heim mekudashin l'shamayim. Said they're mine. Let them belong to the Beis Hamikdash. So Amar, the guy said back to him, nasati lacha et shali shetakdisham l'shamayim. He said, did I really give it to you? I gave it to you to make a hekdish. So Amar, the guy said back, nasati lacha et shalcha. What do you mean? What are you giving to me for? You did it so that you and your father could be there together, right? And that literally the sin should be hung by his head, and that would be a problem for you. Why? Because but Allah is, if you gave me something and I'm not allowed to be makdish it, it means it wasn't really matana. So I'm telling you that I can be makdish it, sounds like at least at this point, I can be makdish it to show you just how much your matana was really a matana and that it really worked. Right, the point basically being that the guy's saying, if I can't do that, then it's really, it's a hoax, it's not real, right? So that's what he's explaining to him. If you're going to tell me I can't be makdish it, then the whole thing's not really real, so there's nothing to talk about. So let's see what's going on here. So Gemara now says, let's talk about this basic connection between the halakha that was just taught and then the story that happened. Gemara says, "Maisel istor," right? It sounds like the Mishnah is teaching a story that contradicts its own halacha, right? Because at first it tells me, that a person can't get around the neder, the way to get around a neder is by giving a gift, right? And then it says where the person gave a gift and it didn't seem to work. So what's going on here, right? The first time Reuven asked Shimon. And he said, oh, if Reuven gives something to Levi, then Levi can give it to Shimon. And that works. And now it says, well, Reuven asked Shimon, and then Reuven gave it to Levi, right? And then he's saying that doesn't work. So what's going on here? So no, chasur mixer v'hachitan, there's something missing. And this is what it really means to say. What does it mean to say? V'im hochiach sofa at chilasof, at the end of the story, right? Basically, the end of what he says, like, shows that the whole thing was not real, wasn't a real gift. So then, aser. So then, it doesn't work, right? Umay senami, etc. Now the Mishmah continues saying, so the story of this guy with the wedding, where it wasn't really real. He didn't really want to give it to the other person because the fact that the guy wanted to be makdish made him upset. So you see, this wasn't real. Fine, okay. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav, lo shanu ella da amar lei. Right, so they this gift only works, right, where the person who's giving it says to the guy who's receiving it that my, you know, the chatzer and the whole suda and everything are given to you, but they are yours only so that my father can now come, right? So my father can show up, right? Since he said that he made a t'nai basically that the guy doesn't really own the gift. He doesn't really own it. It's just for my father to be able to come. That's what makes it aser. But if he says to him, even says explicitly, I'm giving it to you so that my father can come, right? Right? Basically what he's saying is that he's not saying a t'nai. I'm only giving it to you so my father can be. He says, no, I'm saying it's yours, and I'm letting you know I'm doing it so my father can be invited. So now please let my father come, right? Right. So it's not t'nai, but it's like he's like giving information, letting the guy know that he wants his father to now be invited, right? And since you own it, so now you need to be the one to give permission for my father to come. Okay, lishna achrina, amin la. Another version. Amar Rav lo tema taima de amalei, lo tema taima de amalei. I don't say that in the Mishnah's case that the whole reason that the father was forbidden in the first place to make use of it is because the guy said, right, the son who was giving it to somebody else, right, because he told him, right, Ava Amale Hein Lefanecha, he told him, like, you know, Ava Amale Hein Lefanecha Sheva Abav Yocha, right, because he said it so that your father to my father's gonna come, but if he would have you know, just told him, right? If you just say to him, like, you know, regularly, that, you know, here it is, it's for, it's yours, so that so my father can come, mutter. Right, but even right, that if the guy who gave it to him says it, they're here so that my father can come. It's still aser, right? In my time, why is that? I know it's the suit itself, right? It's going to show that the whole thing that he really meant it as a tnai. But the point being that it's not only because he said it, right, explicitly. But the point is, if it becomes clear, this is a bigger chumra, right? If it becomes clear, sudaso muchachasala, right, it becomes clear later, right, that he was doing this specifically so his father could come, even if he doesn't say it explicitly, that's still that is still going to be it still won't work in such a case. Okay, okay, on to Mem Chesem and Beis. So now another story. Hu gavra dahavale bra dahavishamit kipe dikitana. There was a person who had a son who would steal. What would he steal? He would steal bundles of flax. Right? Rashi, the Mepharish there says, Shai gozel anitze pishtan. You know, things of flax. Bundles of flax, I guess. Ve'ista amir shahai mishamit atzmo. Some say he wasn't stealing, but he would, instead of learning, he would go use, he would go involve himself in flax. Okay. And asrin hu lenichse alei. So out of upset, you know, he was upset with this. So the father made him forbidden to use his property because he was upset. I mean, he see the two pshat in the mafarish, right? Either he was upset that he was mamish aganav, or he was upset that he was being involved, he wasn't learning. It's very different explanations, but fine. Okay, but bottom line, the father was upset and ostracized him with a nether. So Amr Lai, again, as we always say, this is not appropriate behavior. Shouldn't be making the dharma at all. But okay, but this is what happened. So Amr Lai, v'iv havai bar barach tzor b'mer abonamai, right? What if your son now becomes a Talmid Chacham, right? Would you not want him now to get some, like, what, you know what's going to happen in the future of his life, right? So if he eventually becomes a Talmid Chacham, now you're going to be, you know, you still want to have this nether on him? So Amr Lahon, so he says back, Likni Hadain. Yeah, he says, you know, let my son get my property. Vihavai bar barid sorbi mirabana likne, and if my grandson becomes a Talmid Chacham, so let him get it then. That's fine. Sorry, let me explain. I said, didn't say it totally correctly before. The what they said to him was, they said, Amr Lei, v'i have bar barach, if your grandson, right? I mean, you wrote out your son. But maybe his son is going to become a Talmid Chacham. You're going to want him to have some rights to your property. So Amr Lahon, liknei hadein, fine, said, fine, let my son, who I right now have written out, let him get half my property. V'i havei bar barid, so if my grandson becomes Talmid Chacham, liknei, then he can get it. Meaning it's only on Tanai. That if the grandson ends up becoming Talmid Chacham, that he should be able to get the property. Fine. So where's his mind? Like what? So what's the halacha? Right? How's it going to work? If the kid who he doesn't want to have any doesn't want to have the property doesn't have the property, how can it now go to the grandson? How does that make sense? So Amre Pumbedisai, the people in Pumbedisai said Kini Amanas Lahaknosu. He's made a kinyan so that he can basically, he makes a kinyan with a condition. He can only make a kinyan. Amanas is going to be maknet to his grandson, to his own son. V'chol kini amanas hagdos lokani, and that doesn't work, right? And you know, if you make a kinyan only to be able to give it to someone else, so that doesn't work. So Rav Nachman Amar kani. Rav Nachman says no, it works. He does get it. Why? The high sudara. Whenever a person gives a suda, right, a handkerchief, that's what we use for, you know, a kinyan to make, because, you know, mechiras chametz, etc. Use a kinyan suda, use a handkerchief. It doesn't have to be a handkerchief, it could be other things also. But right, if you do that, so what happens then? Kinyan amanasa hagnasu. Right, a kinyan suda is itself a kinyan in order to lahagnos, so to give someone a opportunity to be machnas somebody else. Point being that whenever you do a kinyan chalipin, right, when you, you know, like we said, like we do something like mechiras chametz, right? So I give you my watch and you pick it up and we make a kinyan, or my pen or whatever, and you pick it up. So yeah, you're quoting my pen for a second, right? But what's the real point? The point is that you're being quoted my pen so that I can then be, you know, quoting your, you know, I could be a shliach or something like that and I can sell your chametz on your behalf. Right, so it's sort of a kinyan that's not real. Right? You're not really being koneh my pen. You kone it for a second, and I give it back to me. Right? So it's sort of like a kinyan amanas lahaknos. It's a kinyan that's not real. It is a kinyan, but it's not. It's symbolic. In order lahaknos, so someone else can make a can be makna on your behalf. Right? So maybe it should work. So am Ravashi uman lema la de sudra itafis la yonamitbus. Is that true? A case of kinyan sudar, that if the person would take it and refuse to give it back, that it doesn't work, meaning he can. I mean, the right thing to do is to give back the pen or whatever, or the handkerchief after kinyan sudar. But you don't have to. You were actually koneh. So don't tell me it's not not a kinyan. It is a real kinyan. That's a bad proof. Ve'od, and even more, sudra kinei amanas lahaknos uknei min hashta. And also, in this case, a kinyan sudar. Yeah, so let's say I'm selling chametz to somebody, right? So or they're making me their shliach to sell their chametz. So what happens? So I give them my pen, right? And the moment that it doesn't have to be that's just a case of making someone shliach, but it could be actually make a real kinyan. So I say I give you my pen, and then immediately, right away, right? I can make a kinyan for you, right? I can make a kinyan to your things, right? And it happens right away, right? So sudra kinei amanas lahaknos u kinei min hashta, right? Meaning the kinyan happens right away, right? So it's not like amanas that sometime later something's going to happen. That's not true. It's not something later. It can happen immediately. Right? Halin nichsin de hadain, right? But when it comes to this situation, the father's stuff, la'imas aikani, when's this kid going to, you know, the child who doesn't want to make a kinyan, doesn't want to give him his property, when is he make a kinyan? Right, lechi hava barbarei tzurim rabbanim is when the grandson becomes tam hacham. Right, lechi hava, and when the grandson, that happens, hadar sudra lamarei. So at that point, the kinyan sudra has been given back already for a long time. Right, so this is so even if you want to say that a kinyan amanas lahaknos works, this wouldn't be true in this case anyway. That's not what this is. Fine, so they're unhappy. The argument that this kinyan, this whole idea doesn't really work. Fine. So it's rejected. So Amalei Rav, the Rav Nachman, Matnas Beis Choron. That's not says of Nachman, but the Matnas Beis Choron, right? The gift, right, of the person in Beis Choron that the mission talked about, the kinyi Amanas Hagnasu, which is a case of that same exact thing. It's make a kinyan, Amanas, again, Lahaknas is somebody else, right? So that story with the wedding. Right, what was it? He gives the guy the suda and the chatzar. Why? So his father can get a can have, you know, an opportunity to come to the wedding. Right, v'lo kakani, and the mission said it doesn't work. Right, so Gemara gives now, you know, can give two answers to this to this point. So zimnin amarle. Sometimes Rav Nachman would say to Rava mishum de suda so mochachas alav. Right, meaning that it is true that the kinyan amanas lahaknos does work, but in this case, again, we said before, the suda shows that it wasn't real, right? That it was just there for the father to be able to eat. wasn't really giving it to the guy. I'm not really giving him the suda and the chutzer, right? So that's why it didn't work. Vizinin amalei. Sorry, but the point being that it's not. It might be true that kinyan amanas lahaknos does work, but our case of the Mishnah was different because it was so obvious that it was just you know, like an end around to make sure the father could come to the wedding. But Zimna normally, and sometimes he would give a different answer. Rabbi Lazarhi, the Amar, Afilu Vitor Aser Bemudarna, who said that even, right, I think we saw this idea before, that there are sometimes some certain things that even someone who doesn't, there's no ned there, but like, let's say, you know, it's my property, not your property. But, you know, if a person wants to come into my property to get to walk through for some reason, or to, you know, to come in for something easy, that's not a big deal. So, Vitor, I'll allow that, right? allowed. Literally, it's like a, you know, I'm being mevater. I'm letting it go. Certain things that a person lets go, right? So that might be true in general. But Rabbi Lezer holds that when it's someone that may be true in general, that I can say say for example, it's my property, so you can come in for certain things, certain basic reasons you can come in, but to walk through to get to your field, et cetera, things like that, those are allowed. But if it's a situation where I've taken a neder against you, so then all of a sudden the vitor now becomes usur, right? So now that I've moved to Hana, so even these basic things I won't allow. So the point being that allowing the father in, you know, even if the net is, because there was a net there, if otherwise it would have been permissible, so in this case now it's not, it won't be allowed. Fine. And that's why the Mishnah said the case of the Beis Charon, you know, the wedding, was no good, right? It couldn't even allow the father in, because at the end of the day, the father still was subject to the nether, right? He now gave his own chatzer to his friend. So technically, it was someone else's, chatzer. But lemaisa, that simple amount of vitor would not be allowed now, still, because again, the guy still had a nether on him. Fine. Fine. Now the Gemara presents another issue with the shita of Nachman. So Tanan, we said in the Mishnah, Amru Chachamim, Komatana she'ina she'im hikdisha tehim mikudeshes, ein matana, right? That if any matana that you make, where if I would make it hektish, it wouldn't work. So that's is not a real. So the Gemara, whenever the Gemara says hakol, right? The Gemara throughout Shas kol asuyamai. When you say kol any, what are you trying to include? What else? Lav asuyah hay milsa. Meaning, do you mean to include this case, right, with the boy who was stealing the bundles of flax or not learning or whatever, that conclude even that case, right, that it was given on al tanai, right? And the point being, then, if that would mean that this example of the father says, okay, fine, you can give it to the grandson if he becomes, give it to my son, to give it to my grandson in the case that he comes to Amhacham, so that wouldn't work, right? Because again, it's not a real matana because the son wouldn't be able to be makdish it. So as Gemara, no, that's not true. Lasuye lishna basra dishmaisi de Rebbe. No, it comes to include the last thing from what Rebbe said before. At that point, that not only usar, that the matana doesn't only not work if the guy says I'm giving you my field and my the suda so that my father can come. But even if he didn't say it explicitly, but he just said it, and then the father comes, and it's clear, right, that the suda is mochiach, what this is really all about. So that's come to include that case as well. Okay, so we'll stop here. Yashikayach, we finished the fifth parak, and we'll pick up, like I said, on Thursday with Daf Memtes.